We were just rocking down the highway and enjoying some doobies together on a throwback Thursday morning on WRJN. 12 minutes until 11 o'clock. This is Glenn Klein along with Mark Eichhorst sitting in a studio on Victory Avenue. Well, it's the moment you ladies and gentlemen have been waiting for, our big football picks for the weekend coming up. Who are our games, Mr. Eichhorst?
Noon game on Sunday, Jacksonville Jaguars at the Chicago Bears. The Chicago Bears are 2-point favorites.
I will take our Chicago Bears and give the two to the, to the Jags of Jacksonville.
You and I agree, Glenn.
What do you think about the quarterback situation? They've got Brian Hoyer, who's played well since coming in for
Played okay.
He has played okay. I said well, you say okay.
Yeah.
You say potato, I say potato. Let's call the whole thing off. All right, I stay with Brian Hoyer even after Culler gets better.
For now,
I would. The Bears have played better since Hoyer's been in there. There's no doubt about it. That's where they've gotten their wins.
For now, I would. Yep, okay. I would agree.
All right, so we're both taking the Bears.
Yep, okay. Dallas Cowboys at the Green Bay Packers in the 3 o'clock game or 3:20 game, and the Packers are 4-point favorites.
I'll take the Pack.
We agree again. Although that should be a really good game. I think.
This kid from Dallas is he's something special.
And it's going to be the top running defense versus the top running offense. So it'll be interesting.
We know who Dick Rousseff is going to be pulling for.
Yep.
His Dallas Cowboys.
And, of course, you know, Tony Romo with the Cowboys, although he's not playing at this time. The other kid from Racine, Chris Maragos, plays with the Philadelphia Eagles, and they're at the Washington Redskins this week, and the Redskins are getting 2.5 points.
In D.C.?
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins. I'm going to go with D.C.
I'm going with the Eagles.
Okay, good.
Yep, that's the one game we...
That's our tiebreaker, though.
Yep, so should be interesting.
One thing we agree on is not only that the Chicago Cubs are the best team in baseball and we want them to win, they are waiting upon, speaking of D.C., in the nation's capital tonight, the Nationals will be taking on the Los Angeles Dodgers because the Dodgers won Game 4 at Dodger Stadium in Chavez Ravine the other night, 6-5, the same score that the Cubs came back and beat the San Francisco Gigantes by in a record-setting ninth-inning comeback. It's incredible. They've been keeping records in baseball for well over a century. I mean, probably for 125 years. And that was the biggest ninth-inning deficit in Major League playoff history and that they came back from. And David Ross, the Cubs catcher, was the, think about this, the oldest catcher in playoff history to hit a home run at 39 years old.
Yeah, the Cubs scored 4 runs in the ninth, and I think that was done before in 1986 by the New York Mets. And in fact, I think it happened 3 times in 1986 in playoff baseball they came back with 4 runs. A team came back with 4 runs in the ninth, but
to win the game.
Yeah,
I thought the Cubs set the record.
I thought they tied it.
Maybe tied it.
Yeah, so it hadn't happened since 1986. That's what I thought. But the two nights, Monday night, you know, they go 13 innings, lost the lead in the eighth, tied it in the ninth, wind up going 13 innings and losing. So the flag came down at 1:45 in the morning.
At the Eichhorst home.
Yeah, and it was...
Do you fly the L flag when
no,
they lose?
No.
Why?
I don't.
Yeah, but
I don't
but
have
why?
An L flag.
Well, should get an. I bet they've never sold an L flag.
I bet you they never have either.
They should burn that thing. Is what they should do.
But you know, and then it was very hard to fall asleep after that.
Yeah,
and
sure was.
Again, up at 4 o'clock, 4:30 in the morning, I have gotten maybe 4 or 5 hours sleep tops, and then the next night they started at 7:30. And a great game. It was 5-2 Giants in the fifth when I fell asleep watching the game. I'll admit it. Woke up in the top of the top of the ninth, and the 4 runs scored. Got to be the greatest comeback game that I can remember as a Cub fan because there was so much on the line. And then Geraldus Chapman comes in the ninth, and he knew he wanted that ball, and he struck out the side.
He sure did. I did a great commentary, my humble radio talk show host opinion yesterday about what that game can teach us about life, about not giving up, about coming back from failure. And Geraldo's Chapman imploded the night before. In my humble opinion, again, Joe Maddon made a couple of bad moves, which, listen, we're all entitled to. That's arguable. But he made
as I did with you.
That's some great moves that he made. The next night, the Cubs never gave up. They put that game behind them, and it was absolutely amazing. Now, I talked to the great Tom Carco a couple hours ago about the L flag that I referenced to Mark. And if you go to my Facebook page, you will see on my cover picture the effort represented that I started about 11 years ago to get the Cubs to get rid of the L flag they hoist over Wrigley Field after a loss. You guys know, as Mark does at his home, they lift the W flag over the scoreboard at Wrigley when they win. But when they lose, they also lift an L flag over Wrigley Field, proclaiming themselves losers. How we communicate, the naming of things, the identification, the branding is very important psychologically, I think. When the Cubs win the World Series, and I believe and I predict that they will win the World Series, the magic of Joe Maddon will have overcome the L flag curse. Yesterday on this quality broadcast, I spoke with Orestes Destrada, the former major league player and the Fox baseball analyst, and asked him, because he's covered Joe Maddon, he worked with Joe Maddon down there at Tampa Bay with the Rays, what makes the Cubs skipper so special?
I'm going to tell you what I think it is, you know, covering the Rays and being around them for, you know, 150 games a year, those early years when I got there, 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14. I believe that Joe has an innate way of, A, communicating, and being able to communicate to different types of people. Because I think that is massively important in today's day and age as a head coach or a manager at a high level. Even in the college, you know, the high-level college ranks. You know, the Notre Dames and you name it, the Ohio States and Miami's, Florida State. I believe that because you have so many different types of personalities now, that you have to be able to communicate, and Joe has that flair. He has that way. He's so knowledgeable, worldly. He can talk this way to that guy and this way to this guy. And then he entertains you, not just because he's funny. It's not Casey Stengel entertainment. Or Leo DeRocher entertainment. It's like, I didn't think about that. Just talking about life. You're around the guy, and he goes like, wow. And you know, so the guy is just, he'll go start talking about something specifically X's and O's baseball, and it'll trigger him about some other experience that he happened to have while he was explaining that. And you are like, that's fascinating. At least it is to me. Some other people maybe don't get it. I know you do, because you're that type of mentality and kind of, you know, diverse thinking. Now, on top of that, he also motivates players, and that's where the Phil Jackson, the Joe Torre, you know, that you know, even Belichick, who's totally different in his demeanor, and but we don't know behind the doors how he really treats his players. The media, he's close, but you have to be able, Glenn, to motivate players, because at this level, you're pretty much, you are what you are, give or take plus or minus 5 or 10%. You're a 250 hitter. You're going to be a 250 hitter, but you need to get that 250 out of that guy or whatever other attribute he might have.
Right.
Well, Joe is phenomenal on that, keeps it fun. I'm watching these Cubbies play now, and I would peek into a game or two here and there, but predominantly about the American League and my Rays. Well, I'm watching them now consistently in these playoffs, and I'm going, what a freaking fun team to watch.
Oh, my God.
Rizzo gets a third out of an inning, and he's running in, and he's, you know, he's flinging it at 100 miles an hour back to Baez, who's running in, and or he's throwing it to somebody else, and they're in the dugout. That's awesome.
Yes,
and I think to be respected.
That's Orestes Estrada, former major league player and current Fox baseball analyst down in the Tampa Bay area. I'll tell you another thing that makes Joe Maddon special. He is Mark Eichhorst's twin, separated at birth.
Yeah, there's no truth to the rumor that he recently won a Marquette course lookalike contest.
Now, if you want to know, beautiful humans, how much Mark Eichhorst looks like Joe Maddon, all you have to do is go to the WRJN Facebook page. Mark, in his roving reporter role, is on the Facebook cover page as Joe Maddon. Where were you at that point?
That was the Harbor Market down in Kenosha. Had a great time down there.
Were people coming up to you at the Harbor Market in Kenosha and wondering what Joe Maddon was doing there?
Well, they were just amazed, asking if they could take a picture. Knew it wasn't really Joe Maddon. I said, I'm not really him. And they said, I know, but you look so much like him. Can we take a picture? We did a lot of that. The biggest one was when I went to the State Fair and I had his jersey on. I had my glasses on, the hat. And we went through the Commerce Building where they have all the people selling stuff from all over the country. And people, guy was going, Joe, come here. He says, just stand here for a while and I'll give you some product. And I said, I'm not really him. You know, we've had a lot of fun. A lot of people have offered to buy me drinks and dinners when I've been out and stuff like that. And had some fun with it.
Well, if you go down to Wrigleyville, if you can't get into a game for the series, if you just go down there, you're not going to have to buy a thing.
Yeah, but I tell you, it's
you could probably sell selfies, just people wanting to take a picture with Joe Maddon's lookalike.
Probably could. You know, here's a couple interesting aspects. The Cubs, the last time they won the World Series, it was 1908. Think about this.
And were there.
No, not quite. But Ty Cobb was batting cleanup for the Detroit Tigers that year. They had, in Detroit, they had 6,300 and some people at the game that the Cubs clinched. But that was the only way you would have known what happened in that game because when you think about it, especially you and I, radio wasn't invented back then, 1908, the last time the Cubs won the World Series.
Here's the most amazing statistic regarding how long it's been. We are actually further away sitting in the studio here at your radio friend, we are further away chronologically from the last Cubs championship than was Napoleon Bonaparte.
Your radio friend is AM 1400 WRJN, Racine, Kenosha, Milwaukee, a Magnum.media station.
Your Throwback Thursday Hour of Power, where we love to acknowledge that knowledge like you just learned is indeed power, follows WRJN covering the world at 1 minute after 11 o'clock.
Hacks and attacks. I'm Michael Toscano. WikiLeaks is releasing thousands more hacked emails from Clinton campaign chairman John Podesta. The Clinton camp blames Russia for the hacks as part of an effort to influence the U.S. election, and Joe Johns reports on a link between